This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. Our guy Jonathan Hood off once again this week. But again, if you're missing his wrestling takes, I think I saw yesterday he was on.
He's all over the place.
Well, just 9 to noon, busted open radio on Sirius XM. You can just check that out if you're missing his wrestling takes. Because, well, we do have more wrestling coming up this weekend. Clash in Paris happening for WWE. They've had to shift some things around after the Naomi announcement. She was supposed to defend her title here. No longer happening. In fact, only 5 matches on this card, Brian, and only 2 of them feature championships on the line, with Seth Rollins, Punk, Jey Uso, LA Knight in a fatal 4-way for the World Heavyweight Championship, and then Becky Lynch defending her Intercontinental Championship against Nikki Bella in a 1-on-1 match. That's it. That's all the championships on the line in this premium live event. So put your sales hat on, buddy. What's the reason that you should be watching Clash in Paris?
Yep, it's hard to get too excited for 5 matches. I will agree with that. To me, it's Roman versus Bronson. I think that match will deliver. We've seen when Roman's in that opportunity, he comes through with big matches. Bronson's up and coming. With a caveat, Bronson has to go over. This could be a star-making moment for Bronson. Roman doesn't need wins and losses. Bronson winning on Sunday is all of a sudden you're looking at him in a different light. You're like, oh, that guy is a future of this company. He is a future of WrestleMania main eventer, even though Heyman usually references Braun as that with Bronson standing in the ring. Bronson's someone you could build around. He's a monster. Let him get the win on Sunday over Roman.
I mean, if he does go over, it's not going to be clean.
That's every WWE match. a clean finish.
And isn't the point of Bronson Reed being in The Vision, as I guess we're calling it?
It's a name. I'll take it.
Right? They needed something, and I'm glad they got something. But I kind of felt like the entire purpose of Bronson Reed being in this was to eat all the pins, because you have Seth, who's now the champion. You have you have Bron Breakker, who you're obviously going to be building up. Like, Bronson's the one who's going to be eating pins. And yeah, I agree. Like, this is the one match I'm looking forward to the most, because it's also the first time we've seen Roman in a 1-on-1 match since WrestleMania. Yeah. When he lost the championship a year and a half ago.
Probably.
But I think it's his first 1-on-1 match since then. So I'm kind of excited to see that and see him in a 1-on-1 match, but there's no way Bronson Reed is winning this thing.
But why not? Like, we've talked about the youth problem, and Bronson's one of those guys I just assume is young. I don't actually know if he is.
He's 37.
Okay. So I guess young by WWE standards. Might be the youngest on the card, possibly.
Ooh, that's a fun game. Now, Logan Paul's the youngest on the card.
Oh, okay.
Logan Paul by far is the youngest on the card.
I think I did see the average age is over 40 if you take everyone on this show. But it's a fresh face, at least, in terms of Bronson. And that's a way you could push him. It'll be a good match, but we don't need the same Superman punch, spear, this and that. You'll get the interference. Roman going over does nothing, because I assume we're not going to see him again until November after this weekend.
Probably, maybe. I'm not quite sure what his schedule is going to be. So then if we're not going to see him again until November, doesn't this all kind of feel like a waste? Like, they're just going to throw him in Paris to wrestle Bronson Reed? Like, that's how we're going to use Roman Reigns' time? And especially, in his promo, he was talking about his time is coming soon enough. So I'm guessing they're going to be building for him for some sort of world championship run. But again, maybe that doesn't happen until later in this year. So I guess that's another reason maybe to really savor this, because Roman continues to be one of the most, if not the most, over person on the roster. And he found it interesting as well while cutting his promo that when he mentioned the name Cody Rhodes, that Cody got some boos.
Yeah.
Some boos coming out of the crowd. Where were they? They were in Birmingham, I believe, is where they were.
They were overseas.
On Monday night, yeah.
Also, by the way, in terms of Roman, the 1-on-1 matches, it was Mania, and then he also, the Raw on Netflix debut, him and Solo.
Oh, yeah, okay, all right.
That was January. We are now at the end of August.
Yeah, so 2 1-on-1 matches for Roman Reigns in the last 18 months.
Right, yeah, typical for a schedule. That's how that works.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because again, he's had triple threat matches, had all these other other matches. But yeah, look, it's not a super exciting card, and I think that's really the only thing to kind of get excited about, because Cena versus Paul. All right, cool. I'm hoping that Cena can continue the momentum he had in the ring from his match with Cody, which was by far his best one-on-one match in a while. And we know how talented Logan Paul is.
Did Friday do anything for you in terms of getting you more excited for that match or the Cena promo?
It was a good promo.
Yeah.
The incomplete storytelling is what is making me frustrated about this, because Brock Lesnar shows up. We haven't seen Brock Lesnar since. No explanation as to why Brock Lesnar attacked. No explanation as to when these two are actually going to be going head to head. And now all of a sudden, again, this is just filler.
Right.
Like, no. Okay. Well, we know we're going to Brock eventually. Like, at least when he was champion, none of it felt like filler. Everything felt like it had a purpose, had a reason. This just kind of feels like a filler. And John did a great job, as he can, as one of the more gifted talkers in WWE history. Like, he did a good job selling the match, but it didn't really make me more excited for it.
That point about it being filler is because we feel like we know it's going to be that WrestlePalooza show going into All Out. That's going to be Brock Cena. Like, it's almost like WWE forgot, like, ah, crap, we got to stop in between SummerSlam and this, you know, conveniently scheduled against AEW pay-per-view, and that's where Paris comes in.
Yeah, and then the Fatal 4-Way is...
It's a Raw main event.
Yeah. Yeah. Seth's going to go over. There's going to be a bunch of interference because it's a Fatal 4-Way. There's going to be infighting between Punk and LA Knight. Yeah. And it's just, yeah, I know what's coming. I'm a little intrigued by Becky Lynch versus Nikki Bella, just because obviously they had a plan for Nikki, and they've had to, because of injury, pivot off of that. She was, I think, obviously set up to do something against Liv. Liv, unfortunately, has the injury, so now they're trying to find spots for her. So I'm curious to see this one. I would say it's probably the second one. I mean, Sheamus versus Rusev might as well just do the old Sheamus versus Cesaro seven game series thing at this point. I don't care what kind of, we've seen it a bunch already on television. I don't know why we need to have good old fashioned Donnybrook in Paris. We need to see this for the fifth or sixth time, how many times we've already seen this.
Like, I wonder if you're Rusev, and we heard the stories that, like, he wasn't happy to AEW, wanted to get back to WWE, if they tell him, hey, you come back, Hunter's going to re-sign you, but you're literally just going to wrestle Sheamus for the entire year. Like, is that a positive for him? Like, is that a step in the right direction? Or
at least he's on TV.
Yeah, I guess. Like, he's cutting promos, but, like, there's no title involved. There's really not even a story. It's just they like
fighting. No, these two just keep fighting.
Yeah.
Nope. There is zero story. They are just fighting. That is all that is happening there. So maybe they add something to this tomorrow night on SmackDown.
I doubt it.
Kind of, because 5-6 seems to be the sweet spot right now for these PLEs for Hunter. That's where he wants to keep them to.
But I thought that was going to change, because now they're part of the ESPN DTC this weekend for the first time. So there will be people that are paying just for this, or you're paying the $30 a month to watch this. Paying for five matches is hard to justify. Like, the $50 you spend on AEW, you know you're getting 4+ hours of banger after banger. Like, that's justified. This doesn't quite feel that way.
I guess I was under the assumption that Triple H wasn't going to change the way he did things.
Oh, all right.
Even though they had signed this contract with ESPN. Like, I was under the assumption that they weren't actually going to change anything. They were just going to, well, you know what we do. You just gave us the money. This is what we do. I think that was going to be the mentality there all along.
Crazy me. I thought they cared a little bit more about the fans. My bad.
Oh, God, no. Yeah. No, they don't care about the fans. And it was pointed out, because with AEW being at the O2 for Forbidden Door, and then you have Shivani coming out saying, hey, this is the largest crowd.
Right.
I mean, that's what AEW should be going for. Largest crowds. Because the only thing, WWE doesn't give a rip about the crowd. They care about the gate, which is why they charged, to the offense of Randy Orton, what they did at WrestleMania, and then are going to try to do it again in Las Vegas. And again, they're able to do it right now. I can't imagine it's a long-term plan where you keep gouging your fans. Like, wrestling fans, I just don't think are going to continue to stand for it as they continue. Maybe they will. Maybe I'm completely wrong here, but that's just, I feel like that's not going to be able to be sustained by WWE. Now, again, I think when you do something overseas, because the overseas fans as shown by the crowd at the O2, as shown by the crowds that have been there in Birmingham, in Dublin. Like, they just, they're different. They don't get these events all the time, so they get excited for them. So I think when you go overseas, you can do a five match, but you are literally just in Indy. You are just there. And now, again, we'll see what they do for WrestlePalooza. If they throw out five matches for that, I can't imagine the people in Indy are going, oh yeah, we should go watch that.
Well, that's the curious part to me in terms of like the case study aspect of it. We talk about the NFL and how they're going to play on this day of the week and a Tuesday and a Friday. It's like, oh, whatever. They're indestructible. There's no other option. Like, if you're pissed at the NFL, if you're like, ah, man, it costs so much, there's nowhere else to go. With WWE, there at least is somewhere else to go. And I wonder if that eventually impacts things. If fans are like, I don't want to spend this much money for a ringside seat where I could just go down the street, watch another company, and not spend that much. Like, I wonder if that impacts anything at all. It might be a slow burn, but if we ever get there.
Well, again, and maybe I'm wrong about wrestling fans.
Sure.
But wrestling fans, like, the NFL can keep doing that, and I think the NBA to an extent as well. Mm-hmm. Because it's more of a corporate environment. Like, the Super Bowl is a corporate environment. The Super Bowl's not for the fans to attend. Like, it's super expensive. It's for all their corporate partners sitting in the suites, giving away the tickets and things like that. So the crowd at the Super Bowl isn't always going to be the most rowdy or rambunctious. And I just don't see the WWE ever getting to the point where it's just like, oh yeah, we're a corporate crowd now. Like, I that's just a complete misread of WWE fans, but maybe it does become that because they've been able to grab these partnerships with some of the companies and now obviously being partnered with ESPN. Maybe they can accomplish that if that's ultimately the goal, but I don't know if that's already the case.
Like, the Monday night crowds when they're just showing celebrity after celebrity, like, hey, this guy has a Netflix show, this woman has a Netflix show. Like, they're sort of gearing that way already. And to them,
they're trying to. But again, it's not like wherever they're at is buying, you know, all these different like suites or tickets, right? Like, that's just for a random Monday night. Yes, they're putting the celebrities out there, but that's more of the partnership with Netflix. Of Netflix is like, oh, hey, this is a popular show. Let's use it to promote some of the other things we have on Netflix. Like, that just makes complete sense. That's what you should be doing in that partnership. As long as Raw continues to be one of the top things that they have, which it continues to be, like, that just makes sense to me. But again, I'll say this from now until we get to WrestleMania, I'm going to be really curious to see what it's like, because it seems like you were there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like it was a great fan experience. Like, it was okay. But based on, because you've been to WrestleMania in New York, you've been to WrestleMania in Philly, you've been out there in Vegas now. I'm sure I'm missing some of the manias you've been to.
South Florida ones, like Orlando, Miami, yeah.
Yeah. And yes, they're bigger events and it's tougher for fans to get around just because of the sheer size and number of fans.
Right.
But it seemed like the ones previous to Vegas were more fan friendly just based on talking to you and your experiences. And I can't imagine that's going to change and suddenly become more fan friendly in Vegas this year.
Right, like, that's how it goes. When you're in these massive arenas, like, it's just the space thing. Like, it's going to be loud because you got the roof and stuff like that. But unless you're right on top of it, like, look at last night. Look at AEW Dynamite last night. The ECW Arena, I don't even know if they were on 1,000 last night. But, like, it had
no, it's 9. I believe I saw on WrestleTix, I believe a sellout is 916.
Right. So, like, I'm getting texts from people that are, like, newer fans. They're like, this is fun. Like, this venue is amazing. It's like, yes, that's what that arena is. Like, they're on top of it, like FTR coming out, jawing at the fans. Like, that's a different viewing experience. Like, it's one thing to be there, which is amazing. But even watching at home, like, that felt different last night. And the WWE just feels more corporate right now, and that's where they're at.
Yeah. So, again, maybe that turns against them. Maybe it continues to work for them. Because being more corporate probably drew ESPN in.
Right, 100%.
So maybe that continues to work out for them in the positive in terms of the numbers they have in their books. I'm curious to see if it starts affecting fans at any time soon. We've got plenty of other things we got to dive into though, Brian. We call it the three count. Other top three stories in professional wrestling we'd like to talk about here on GKW. What is that number one?
We are at 2 years since CM Punk last wrestled in AEW, if you remember, over in London, him versus Samoa Joe. Is AEW better or worse without CM Punk?
They finally got to a place where I feel they're healthy without CM Punk. But CM Punk is such a big star. I feel that whoever has him, you're better off for having him. like you're drawing more eyeballs. You're going to be able to tell quality stories. Now, obviously, Punk wasn't happy there.
Right.
And he was fine up until apparently the brawl out. Right. And it's a shame they couldn't have figured that out. And somebody could have been the adult in the room and done something about that. But I think that any company that has CM Punk, maybe it's just me being a personal fan of CM Punk, wherever he is, that company is more interesting because he's there. And I think that while they finally are now in a spot where they're better off than where they were 2 years ago, because it was contentious and yeah. did not seem sustainable, obviously. But prior to that is among some of the best times in terms of numbers and things like that for AEW. So I think they still would have been better off ultimately with CM Punk, but that's just because I think he's one of the biggest stars and people who love pro wrestling want to see him wherever he is.
So the only reason I lean no is I feel like they got the juice they wanted out of the CM Punk squeeze. They will forever be the ones say, we got him back. Like, we ended the hiatus, all those years of chance, we were the first ones to have him. But the way AEW operates, like, CM Punk being on TV and only wrestling once every 3 months wouldn't have been what happened in AEW. And we saw that where they're pushing him out there and you're getting matchups that you probably didn't need, but it's like, oh, this is fun to see. And Punk's body just couldn't take it. Like, a CM Punk Ospreay match is great on paper, but then you lose CM Punk for 6 months probably. So, like, that balance, I feel like AEW is now able to move forward and build some of these new stars in the business.
Yeah, and look, when... I think part of that was also Punk. Like, I think Punk could have said no, right? I think yeah. he would, but he had been gone for so long that, oh, do you want to wrestle Dax on a Saturday? Hell yeah, I'll wrestle Dax on a Saturday. And me as a fan, knowing that ultimately is probably not yeah. going to be good, like, yeah, why the hell not? Yeah. Sign me up, because that was a great match. That was a fun match.
Yes,
like, 100%. when they went head to head. Yeah, I remember being concerned at the first All In that he participated in because they decided out of the gate, Punk versus Darby Allin. Like, the way Darby Allin throws his body around Punk, I don't know if that's a great idea. And look, if you're putting together a top 10 match list in AEW history, like, there's going to be a couple Punk matches on there.
Sure.
Like, he had a couple of really good ones, so I understand why you think they got the juice out of it. And they will always have that. And maybe because Punk is who he is and it's not the WWE corporate machine where it seems like he's a little bit calmer, like, okay, this is just the way it is. This is what I've signed up for.
Right.
And he thought he could assert more authority in AEW. Maybe that was just going to make it untenable from the start. But they are in a really good spot without him right now. And we just, you know, again, talked about the young star Bronson Reed at 37 years old in WWE. They actually have young stars in AEW that, because of some of the injuries, they're going to have an opportunity to showcase.
Right.
And I wonder if that would have been possible with CM Punk there, because he wasn't really putting a lot of those people over. Again, I think you had to build him up and make him champ before he started getting to the point of putting other people over. He had to reestablish CM Punk, and they just never... The relationship didn't last long enough where you could see Punk starting to put other people over at that point.
And it feels like he's someone that would have always been around the title picture, which isn't a good thing for the company.
Yeah.
Because you want to move on. You want to, you know, have other stars shine. Like, this past week was an example where it wasn't an A-plus card like it usually is in AEW. There were no bad matches on those 4 hours. It was a chance to showcase a lot of young talent. And that's something where you're like, all right, how do we get Punk in here? That takes away a moment, and that takes away promo time. And when you give him the mic, it's great and it's telling stories, but it's also going to take up some time. And, like, that, I think, then hinders the growth of this company and where they are is because of how non-WWE they are right now. I think that's one of their positives.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, again, they're in a spot right now, but I just still feel like with him, you're still drawing more eyeballs. You'd be able
to... Sure.
I guess that's the problem. Like, if you had a creative team I trusted in more... Right. As Tony's getting better and better, like, I still don't implicitly trust him. Like, not that Triple H is perfect either. Like, we've seen some missteps from Hunter. We still somehow 2 weeks later don't know what to do with the Women's World Championship after Naomi had to relinquish it. Still no plan there. So I think if you had some, like, a better creative process, you'd be able to figure something out with Punk. Like, yeah, okay, he's around title picture, but I think you would have been able to figure something out where his star power would have pushed through and still made AEW better. Like, because WWE is clearly in a better place in the year and a half that they've had CM Punk.
Right.
And then, ever since he showed up, like, WWE is in a much better spot because they have him as one of the pieces on the board.
And I give them credit for that because they've allowed that long-term storytelling. We talk all the time about the him and Drew feud, which they weren't even cleared to wrestle. Like, they were just going out there telling that story and eventually getting there. And Punk still hasn't even won the title there. Like, I feel like that's a whole other chapter.
Well,
they can write in
technically WWE. He did. Technically he won the title.
Technically, yeah.
Technically, he won the title. Yeah, hasn't had the title run. Yes. They've been able, and maybe he never gets one. I don't know. Sure. Like, maybe it's just like, hey, you got the championship, you get that moment, and now who knows what happens with Seth Rollins and what ultimately happens there as champ. But he, because, well, let's be honest, he's not going over in Clash in Paris on Sunday.
No, this is the LA Knight moment. They weren't waiting for Paris. No.
No.
Oh, okay. Just
want to
make sure.
No, that's, but yeah, look, AEW, I enjoyed the show last night. And now with even some of the injuries, and we'll probably get into this in a little bit too, but like Daniel Garcia cut a hell of a promo last night.
Yeah.
Like because of some of the injuries, now you've got an opportunity for some of those young guys to shine even more. And I think they're going to have a great opportunity in front of them to try to grow them as the company tries to continue to grow.
Yep, I mean, it's a good transition. Swerve talking to Complex said the new pillars of AEW are himself, MJF, Ospreay, and Hangman. Who are your new pillars of AEW?
I mean, it's kind of hard to disagree with those four.
Two of those four are out right now.
So yeah, I mean, again, that is tough. And with Ospreay, it's kind of undetermined how long he's going to be out. Kind of, I think we're more hopeful for Swerve to come back before Ospreay with the knee injury versus the back injury. But to get to the point where they're at right now, where it seems like maybe they're ready to pop a little bit and kind of get some of that feel back. I mean, those are the four that are carrying the day.
Sure.
Like you obviously, I mean, Hangman with what he was able to do, the story with Mox, Will Ospreay being Will Ospreay, obviously Swerve with Hangman kind of starting that Hangman push and Swerve just about everything he touches gets better, right? Like it instantly becomes a must watch with everything he was able to do. And MJF is one of the most talented guys that they have on that roster. You know, having that ability to tell the stories. Now, MJF was absent for some of that time as he was, you know, filming Happy Gilmore 2 and things like that. But I have a hard time going against those four because, again, you think about the others, that the original four pillars, right?
Yeah.
That were what? They were
Darby.
Sammy Guevara.
MJF. And someone else who's still prominent.
Yeah, I can't. I'm blanking on who that fourth one was. And then they did the four pillars match, the Fatal Four.
That wasn't great.
No, who they all paid homage to their.
Oh. Jack Perry.
Oops.
Yep. So, what? One for four there, I guess. I don't know. Sort of two for four with Darby.
I would say two for four. Like Darby, again, I have said this so many times. Like Darby, to go from living in his car to now what he's being able to do and him having so many other, I have no problem if he's got other interests outside of wrestling. He obviously still loves pro wrestling very much, but also now is making pretty good money and wants to take advantage of that and do things like climb Mount Everest. Like, I have no problem with that. You just can't be a pillar now, right?
Right.
Like, you just can't be a pillar. If you want to pop in every now and then and do some fun stuff, that's cool with me. But, like, you're just not going to be a pillar of the company the way that you were kind of looked at. And I fully believe, especially after Tony said, hey, Hangman wasn't the original plan here. Like, I fully believe that Darby was supposed to be the one that went over Mox, and they just had no other choice because of Darby's absence and and as hot as Hangman got, that they had to put the championship back on Hangman. But I would not be able to put Darby on that list currently. Like if we have to replace the two that are injured right now, oh man. I mean, I would does it just have to be in the men's division? Because Tony Storm is definitely one of the pillars.
I was gonna go Willow. From the you could be the face of the company going out. Like Tony, as great as she is at storytelling and all that sort of stuff, Willow's the one you have out there doing media appearances, representing the company. Tony was sexual innuendo.
Well, that's because Tony wouldn't be able to do it not in character. Right, and everybody would be very confused as to what the hell is going on.
Tony doing sexual innuendos on the local news will not work. Willow just being the happiest person in the world, like, that's something you're like, oh, this is fun. Like, I want to go see more of this person.
Well, yeah, but, like, you're not going to say The Miz is a pillar of WWE.
No, I am not.
And that's kind of the role that Willow's filling right now. Like, Willow could be. Like, she certainly could be, but she's not. Like, again, so she came out, you know, after the win for Chris Statlander, and, you know, or kind of helping save the day. And it's Harley Cameron, who's like playing peacemaker. Like, she's not featured in those matches. Like, right now, she's just kind of there. Like, I can't say Willow is that person.
What if she's the one to dethrone Tony, though? Because I think when she eventually wins that women's title, that is an AEW moment.
Yeah. Like, I think she has the potential to be one in the future. Okay. I just can't say she is right now.
So if we're replacing the other one, I mean, friend of show Kyle Fletcher, they're putting a lot behind him.
They are. So I think you could put Kyle Fletcher in there. Would Kenny be the other one then? Now that Kenny's back.
Is he, like, he feels Roman-esque. Like, I don't even know when he's around.
If we're putting together four pillars of WWE, Roman's one of them.
Okay. Even though the three times, we just told you, we said two singles matches in a year and a half.
You see how crowds react to him when he comes out there?
He's pretty still.
Like, it's hard. Not like, every time he comes out, I'm sitting there going, how much longer? I know he's part-time, but how much longer can they actually keep the championship off this dude? He is the most over in the company. I don't think it's particularly – like, it's him and Cena right now, and just because Cena – everybody's saying goodbye, that's why those are, like, the two largest pops in the company over in WWE.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else AEW Young-wise then that you could put in there. Because, like you said, Ospreay, we don't know how long it's going to be. Hopefully we see Swerve soon. Like, there's a bunch of, like, oh, maybe this. Like, I don't think Garcia's there yet.
No.
Do you circle back to Orange?
I mean, he's supposedly healthy now, and he's just waiting on creative. So once you start getting that momentum going again, like, this is where I'm a little bit concerned for AEW, because they have a lot of this momentum. Now, two of those four pillars are down. Okay, who's going to step up and run and continue to run the ball and continue this momentum forward? Like, Daniel Garcia, I think, is going to get those opportunities. Orange Cassidy probably going to get those opportunities. But who else can step up and potentially run with it? Like, can actually they make a push for Hook, who returned last night? Like, is this an opportunity for Hook to, all right, now you can really start building him as a singles guy? I don't know. Like, these are all questions that they're going to have to answer in the next handful of months.
I mean, we've banged the table for him a bunch, but how about Brody King? Like, I know with the tag belts on him, that was a huge moment this weekend, but Brody face the company, I don't know if it's like PC-wise, like in terms of like going out again, using the local news example, that's someone that's scary to the 70-year-old grandma.
Well, that's where, so again, if we're going to talk about the women's division, I guess, and it's not going to be, Tony because she's Tony.
Right.
Then Mercedes can go out there and do the interview. She's got 9 championships. Yeah. She's 9 belts, Monet. Like, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, she would have to be up there.
I'm excited to see who does step up in this interim, because I think I read the next pay-per-view will be the first one Ospreay's not on since he signed with the company.
Wow.
Like, that is a workhorse. So, like, there all of a sudden, like, there's 20 to 30 minutes on this pay-per-view that someone else is going to say, all right, that's mine now. And then eventually when Ospreay does come back, like, they're still going to be there. Like, it's a great opportunity for someone to really step up these next few months.
It really is. And I'm looking forward to seeing who can do that. Because, again, the thing about them is they do have those opportunities. Like, do they give – I mean, they gave Wheeler a microphone last night.
Yeah.
Do they try to push Yuta a little bit more within the confines of the Death Riders? Like, does he start to get a little bit more of a spotlight and like Mox and Claudio just end up having his back? I don't know. I mean, that's certainly a possibility. They've had pushes for him before.
I'm curious to see what the other side of that looks like. Like, as much as Yuta is hated as a heel, if Yuta leaves the group and becomes a face, does that become a moment? And does that all of a sudden, do we see that fan support flip the other way and it becomes a massive face?
I mean, I think you could certainly go that way. And it would be an easy story to tell because of how he's just kind of the grunt and
he just left out multiple times.
Yeah, and is disrespected by Mox and everybody else. Like, I think that would be an easy enough story to tell. I don't know who would be the one, because someone's going to have to get in his ear. I don't know if that's if you revisit like Cope being like a veteran guy who gets in his ear to try to draw him away, not necessarily joining him and Christian.
Right.
Which was a fantastic moment last night. I love how just now by still being the exact same character, but just aligning himself with Cope.
Yeah.
But still doing all the same things. Like Christian's just now a baby face.
It's pro wrestling at its finest. Like, and even no, we're not going to do that. And he still does the father stuff.
Like, you guys are a bunch of sickos. Like that was fantastic. You know, calling out. Now I don't know which one of them's actual father is dead on FTR, but obviously one of them is. So they had to get that pop in, which was hilarious. But yeah, I think AEW, they've got a couple of spots open for those pillars. And they've got plenty of options of guys that can step up. Who can step up, who can run with that is certainly going to be interesting. Yep. What do we got at number three?
All right. It is the 25-year anniversary of TLC 1, Dudley's, Edge and Christian, the Hardys. Somehow 25 years later, all three of those teams about to go on other runs. A little, you know, longer in the tooth. So if we went back to their prime and you can get one more prime run from one of these three teams, which way are you going?
Whew. I mean, if I'm talking about prime run, I probably lean towards the Hardys just because Jeff is the most electric out of all of them in terms of what he can do in the ring and the things you can do storytelling wise. And those two are just so creative. I think prime, I'd like to see Hardys. I think their current day form, and somehow again, like you said, they're all still going. Like the Dudleys, like, and we've had Devon on this show. Like Devon's been retired. Like, he's dragging his butt out of retirement just for this. Like Edge and Christian are, and maybe this is just because Edge didn't wrestle for 10 years. Sure. They seem to have the most left in the tank as Cope and Christian.
I completely agree with that. And I think Edge and Christian were the most entertaining and things like that. Prime, though, I think I lean Dudley's. And I don't know if it's the bias of literally seeing the ECW arena last night. Heels are hard to come by. And the way they got crowds going and the way that arena specifically was ready to riot when they had the mic in their hands, that's something that would do well in today's wrestling. And even like a them versus Brodito, like put them in AEW, let them be the massive heels, Brodito being what they are, like that's fun to watch for me.
Yeah, look, I mean, who was it that that Bubba powerbombed through the table when he was in WWE, the older lady? Why am I blanking on it? Mae Young.
Yes.
Right. Doing things like that. Like, yes. Like, yes. That is something that, even though the Hardys have been heels, obviously, I mean, Edge and Christian have been heels separately, but
right,
not really together. Like, whenever they're together, they're heels. Like, Edge has obviously been, or excuse me, baby faces, because Edge has been a dastardly heel by himself. But the Dudleys as that heel tag team.
Yeah,
it was something special to do some of the things that they were doing. And I mean, the get the tables thing still exists to this day.
Right. And that's why even like I said, watching last night, watching FTR come down the ramp, like that's a tenth of what the Dudleys were in that arena. But, you know, they're squaring up with fans. They're getting in their face. And these are New Age fans. So there definitely would be a lawsuit in 2025 if the Dudleys doing some of the stuff they were doing in the 90s. But be entertaining to watch at least.
I mean, two was better than one, right? If we're talking about TLC, the TLC matches between these two.
I just feel like one sticks out because it was just so different at the time. Like, it was unlike really anything we had seen with all of them in the ring at the same time.
But then Edge doing the spear off the ladder in two is like the most iconic TLC tag team moment.
I'm trying the Jeff, the ladder spot on the ramp. Was that one or two, or is that?
Oh, I think that was one.
We're like, yeah, they're like the ladder's outside the ring. It's like a straight shot to the ring. I feel like that's replayed all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, it changed the game. It 100% changed the game. And for whatever reason, Edge, like the Dudleys and Hardys, I don't know if they fully outran the hardcore nature of what TLC was, where I feel Edge and Christian did it more. Certainly the Dudleys, but the Dudleys being ECW, like, at their core, I think was also a part of the legacy of the Dudleys, and that's why the tables and the hardcore stuff was always going to be a part of their legacy. The Hardys outran it a little, but I feel like more, like, most of the Matt stuff, I think of as being more hardcore, more no rules, kendo sticks, things of that nature. Jeff probably escaped it a little bit more, but they were Team Extreme, right? Like, they were still Team Extreme. Like, that's like going to different heights.
Stuff years later, and I'm sure when we see this match, whenever it is in TNA, like, Jeff's going to jump off of something. Like, that's what he does.
Oh, it's going to be uncomfortable.
Yes.
It's going to be uncomfortable. Like, when Shane came back and still decided to jump off something, you know, even though we hadn't seen him in, like, almost 10 years and he's taking on The Undertaker at Mania, like, yeah, he's just, it's part of his nature. Like, he can't help himself. This is what's going to happen. He has to jump off of something.
It's just still insane to think, like I said, 25 years later, all six of them still going, at least five of the six pretty regularly, like, which is insane. After seeing that 25 years later.
Yeah. Yeah. What do we got at News and Notes this week?
All right. Fresh off his appearance on this show, Killer Cross making his first indie appearance this weekend, showing up at GCW. He helped Shotzi against Matt Cardona, then was announced October 10th, Cardona versus Cross, House of Glory in New York.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Pretty. I mean, to jump into the indies and go right after the Indie King, right? To go right after Matt Cardona, that's certainly a play. Like, look, again, I go back to Helwani interview that he did. He obviously wants to end up back in WWE. Don't know if those conversations are still going on, if the negotiations are. So might as well check off the big ones off your list while you're still able to and you're on the independents. And I'm guessing is going to get some pretty good money for
it. Matt Cardona says he does not want Cross and he's tired of it. So fun social media back and forth between them.
Because Cardona knows what he's doing.
Right. He's laughing himself just as much as Cross is. The ECW Arena again in the spotlight tomorrow night. ROH Death Before Dishonor on Honor Club. Some top matches. The world title on the line. Bandido defends against Etchicero. Athena defends the women's title against Mina. And QT Marshall takes on Paul Walter Hauser. Golden Globe winner.
I love that pro wrestling's having such a moment that, like, legitimate, like, actors and singers and, like, they put the work in. Like, you know, before it was like, oh, it was just Bad Bunny. He'll put the work in. Because even when the Jackass guys did it, it was still kind of a gimmick match. But, like, Bad Bunny put in the work. Jelly Roll, obviously, very much put in the work. And the most obsessed with it all is Paul Walter Hauser. And here he is wrestling another pay-per-view match. I just absolutely love it.
Not wrestling at SummerSlam and on a WWE market, like wrestling on Honor Club. $9.99 a month. Make sure you subscribe to watch PWF. A Golden Globe winner, like maybe the most accomplished of all these big names, I guess outside of Bad Bunny. So congrats to him. Staying with AEW, Ricochet, a new trademark. He has filed to trademark the word bald. That would help include merchandise in the future. So good luck to him.
I can't imagine this one goes through, although the NCAA somehow has been able to copyright the word dribble. Like all the, so a little inside radio, like around big events like the Super Bowl, March Madness, email lists go out of, hey, when you're coming up with promotions, including like your partners on it, like here's a list of words you cannot use in your promotions and commercials. And the NCAA one is extensive around March Madness, right? Final Four, Sweet 16, like the ones that you're typical of, like, or you would expect that are a part of like the brand. Somehow they got the word dribble. The NCAA copyrighted the word dribble. So I guess if that's possible, maybe Ricochet can get the word ball.
Ohio State got the. they got bad. Like, I think Ricochet might have a case of bald.
Yeah, he is bald.
And that merch is something that then transcends wrestling. Like, bald guys around the world rejoice. You're going to have merchandise. So, Ricochet, make that money. And finally, news and notes. Becky Lynch, we saw on Monday, cutting a heel promo talking about London and said the only good thing to come out of Birmingham, he has died. Talking about Ozzy Osbourne. Kelly Osbourne taking to social media saying Becky is, quote, a disrespectful dirtbag. Brian Alvarez reporting WWE was not happy about Becky's remark.
Yeah. Just one of those things you got to be careful about, right? Like, yeah, you want to do the heel work. You want to get the cheap pop from the heel and the cheap booze. But Especially when it's somebody who's in your own Hall of Fame, like somebody whose family you've had a relationship with. Like, this seems like it would have been easy to run by somebody. Yeah. Like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this to get the heat. What do you think? And if that conversation would have happened, then the incident would not have happened. Sure. It's unfortunate. Like, obviously, it's not going to affect Becky's standing within the company. Like, I'm sure they'll talk to the Osborne family. Like, they're thinking about apologizing. Like, they'll end up doing the right thing here. It's just unfortunate that it ended up happening. Yeah, just a shame.
I will say, though, Becky's Friday promo turning Ireland against her, two thumbs up.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, because like she came out there like all excited and everybody was excited to see her. And like, hey, look, we're on television. We wanted for years this, you know, like just razzing everybody up and then about facing and just turning on them was, yes, excellent pro wrestler. Again, she knows how to pro wrestle. She's awesome. One of the very best at it. What did you have for your matches of the week?
So I was thinking with Forbidden Door, it wasn't one of those cards where you're like, oh, this is a five-star. This is a match of the year candidate. I wouldn't say there's really any match of the year candidate. It's still a really good show. The two matches I pull are both women's matches. I really enjoyed the Mercedes four-way. We talked about Bozilla before and how blown
holy crap. Bozilla was a star. Like, they made her look like a beast, and it was awesome. Like, just awesome.
And I'm sure Hunter is somehow looking for her phone number right now, and hopefully she ignores that call. So that was fun. And then Tony and Athena was fun also in terms of Sunday stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think those were the two that we were – at least I was really hopeful for Tony versus Athena. I think that really delivered. Just because I was not as familiar with Bozilla, not as familiar with Persephone. Like, I was hopeful for it, and the way it absolutely delivered was fantastic. Yeah, I think everything else was solid.
Yeah,
on the card, like you said, nothing that stood out. I mean, the Lights Out steel cage match, I'm glad it went on last because it's a Lights Out match, so it should be going on last. Like, that's the way these things are supposed to work. And it was chaotic, and it was what it was supposed to be, but it wasn't my favorite thing on the card, but I still enjoyed it.
I also saw someone point out on social. I didn't notice it in the moment. They took the AEW letters off the mat for that match. It's like an extra, hey, unsanctioned, we're not a part of it.
But again, like those are the little details that we've talked about where AEW's missed on in the past. Like those little details, I think, again, they start to add up in a pretty significant way, in a pretty big way.
I also had from last night, I enjoyed the car crash that was Darby and Claudio. I want to know what like the brainstorming is there. Where Darby's like, oh, throw me here. Like, oh, what if you throw me into this? Like,
what if we clear out the announcers so there's nobody going crazy when this is happening? Like, they see what's happening, throw their headsets off, abandon ship, and you just throw me on the announce desk. What if we do that? And Claudio's like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, great. And then, like, the silence and then not having the announcers, like, almost added to the moment. Where they're just showing the replay, there's no announcers over it.
Where there's, like, no announcer to, like, react to it. It's just, it 100% just kind of, it just kind of hangs out there and is, I think it added to it. Like, the fact that you didn't have somebody yelling. Speaking of which, though, if they wanted to add Bryan Danielson to the announce team, if he wanted to just go on the announce team permanently, sign me up for that. He was fantastic on the pay-per-view.
He's fun. He's engaging, but also like some of the wrestling stuff, like not like wrestling logic guys. We're like, oh, he should have done this, should have done that. It's like, it makes the fan feel smarter. And that's sort of what Brian does.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then
I had Monday, Dragon Lee and JD McDonough, despite the appearance of the WWE match. I thought that was pretty solid.
I was pleasantly surprised on Friday night on SmackDown with Miz and Carmelo versus Motor City Machine Guns. Like, they got a deserved "This is awesome" chant, which is, again, a Miz match in 2025. Not to diss the Miz. Like, he serves his purpose in WWE. Like, putting on classics in the ring is not part of what he typically does at this point. But pairing him with Carmelo Anthony and the Motor City Machine Guns, turns out, you can put on a pretty high-quality tag team match.
I'm still hoping for more from Carmelo, but yes, they delivered on Friday at least.
Yeah, he's getting the TV time. Yeah, I mean, he's with Miz, but what are you going to do? All right, we have, again, A lot of things coming up with the long weekend. Plenty of wrestling to dive into. Clash in Paris. Try to give you a reason to watch that. Maybe if you missed some of our other stuff, Brian talked about our interview with Killer Cross. Check it out. YouTube.com/@goodkarmabrands. Comment, subscribe, check out all the past content we've got up there, including some of the one-on-one interviews that we've done. A lot of pro wrestling. Always a lot of pro wrestling to talk about. We'll dive into it all next week right here on GKW.